Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into season 3, episode 4 of House of the Dragon. Matt, what's the title of this episode?
I think it's Tumbleton.
Correct.
Which
you
is odd.
You won a prize.
I did say I did. I mean, technically, I guess I was wrong because I said I don't think Tumbleton will be next week. I was referring to the Battle of Tumbleton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I knew,
which clearly looks like it's next week, which is still a little, I mean, timeline. It's all weird. But I feel like we're at a good pace in the show.
Yeah. I think the pace is outrageously good. I'm sure this is probably the episode out of the ones so far that has probably received, I would imagine, the least amount of attention or love, just because it is a very dialogue driven episode, getting character arcs. Yeah, set up and to put the characters into the next phase of their arcs. And also, I think, and this is one of the things I really like about the episode, is people are changing. Characters are feeling different. Things are on the move, and you can't just do that out of nowhere. You have to put in time to make it all work out. So, but regardless, Matt, I really like the episode. How about you?
I did as well. No, I, this is the first episode on our poll, on our thing, where liked it is the leader.
Yeah, that's what I figured would happen.
By like 2%. So I have been loved it for all of them. But let's see some of the comments on our thing. Great Game of Thrones episode. Loved it. Compelling character building was needed and well done. I'm excited to see what they need to do. So, yeah, you had to have a slowdown episode build, have some fallout. There was so much in this episode that I loved. We kind of called the nettles thing. I don't know that she will actually use the word nettles, but they might. Right, with Raina.
Yeah. I think you're gonna piss a lot of people off with that.
Well, you know, I was actually going through today. I was like, what are like the big changes of the books from where we're at? And another one I actually thought is Queen Hightower. Like in the books, in the books, he is part of the City Watch and he gets killed by Luther, the City Watch commander. He gets killed and then they let the blacks in and storm the gates. But I think it's an okay change. He's not like a super big, he's far more important in this show than he is in the books, but you need Kristen Cole to have somebody there with him, which I thought is good. And he's also, because he's so like morally righteous. And I think that now also gives a better understanding of, Ormond Hightower.
Yeah. That was big when Alison said,
he's cruel, to show the differences between them. I think he's fantastic. I think he's going to be great as this season's villain, because we haven't had like, you know, like the one season villain character. Wish he had some more time to shine in seasons before. Right.
He's doing a great job right now, though,
with the short amount of screen time that he has.
This actor is awesome, man. I think he's written really well.
And Darren, I have to say, I forgot he is the one who was playing Link in the Legend of Zelda, live action Legend of Zelda movie, which I have been very interested in and seeing how that turns out, because I just don't think it's a good idea in general. And I'm a huge Nintendo fan, shareholder. I'm very curious as to why they decided to go with a live action version of that. But after seeing him here and his few lines, considering as Link, he will probably also have few to possibly no lines, because that's what Link never speaks. So makes me feel a little more good about that movie, seeing him here. I thought he was great with just his few lines and mostly facial dialogue. Right when he tells that guy, he's like, get out, because he knows he's about to freak out.
Yeah, I thought that their dynamic was really interesting. At first, I was wondering if they were going down like an abuse arc.
I did too.
Okay, you did too. I mean, that could still be the case, I guess. We don't know.
Sure.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm off. But now that you say that you agree, maybe I'm not so far off. I almost didn't even want to say it because I thought it was stupid than I thought it. But I'm glad that you agreed.
And I also loved the idea of him saying, like, you should be king, because he is in line. I mean, technically, I mean, if enough deaths happen and everything, he would be the one down the line. I thought, once again, I mean, the star of the show is the star of the show, Matt Smith. With Reyna, I that was where him actually realizing what happened. And because that's the thing is we still go back. Like, talk about the season one decision. Remember where they showed the deleted scene of him him consoling Bela and Reyna after the mom's death and like the decision to keep it or not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now for me, it's canon because it's just so like I often think about that scene.
But it's now.
But here we are now. I mean, talk about a huge decision. Like that deleted scene might be the most deleted scene, most important deleted scene in all of like Westeros because it drastically, like if you were somebody who are watching this without any knowledge, which most people aren't. And maybe some people now are like, I don't even know what you're talking about because they're new listeners or whatever. So yeah, in season one, there is a scene where they showed it. They almost never show it. Like Ryan Condell, I think, was the one who shared it. And Baze was like, yeah, this didn't make the cut. And it's a scene of Damon hugging his children after their mom's death. Mm-hmm. And
consoling them.
And now here you are where she's upset being like, I'm clearly like your least favorite child, right? Because I haven't had a dragon. In the book, she does actually have a dragon, but other than that, her story, she just has a bunch of kids. She's like, I think she has like 12 or something. She has a ton
classic Targaryen.
She has a ton of kids if you actually look at her story, but it doesn't really marry like anyone of like major significance, just into another house. But I mean, she doesn't like go on to do, they're all like unnamed kids too. So here you're giving her some more importance. And she gets Sheep Stealer instead. So I think a pretty cool, I don't know where I'm at with it now. I think it's a fine way to do it. I still, you know, a lot of people are upset because they like the idea of Nettles being perhaps somebody who does not have Targaryen blood and was able to claim a dragon, which maybe she didn't have any Valyrian blood in her because in the books, she is all the pictures and everything show her as a little more darker skinned. And remember, but the House Valerion in the books, they are more like Targaryen, like, you know, like white. They're not. So that I guess what I'm saying is that like them choosing to make her potentially be that Nettles role in the show, it's like, oh, the characters look similar, but in the books they obviously do not look similar. So it's far more likely that Nettles in the books is just a commoner and doesn't have any Valyrian blood and is able to claim and ride a dragon, which opens the door for things like Tyrion possibly riding a dragon in Winds of Winter or Dream of Spring, if that ever happens, because right now we think it could only be Targaryen. So I think that is what a lot of people have said is the reason they like that character, because it proves anybody could actually do so. Whereas here it is another Targaryen Valyrian blood being the one to ride a dragon.
Yeah, and I think one of the pieces of A Song of Ice and Fire that's definitely a critique is the fact that there's this purity of blood with Targaryens and that they are elevated among everyone else and they're better than the commoners. And then you go into, you know, a proper A Song of Ice and Fire series and you're seeing how this monarchy is so bad for everyone that's normal. And I think Nettles serves a pretty important piece to kind of show George's hand a little bit, to be like, hey, I know the world building says these things, but actually, what if that's not the case? So it has you start doubting the way things work in the world, which is, you know, pretty interesting as a maneuver when you're writing. But also, I think it does have some thematic value, too. So I can understand why people are super against the idea of Nettles being replaced. But if you're going to do it, I do think that it's been done very well. Like them combining the arcs to me has been good. I'm not over the moon with the scenes with her this year or this season. Like whenever she talks to Lady Erin, episode one or two? Two. I really thought that was not the best. And it was mostly just because that actress doesn't convince me very much. So, you know, other than that, I think it's been, I think it's been written pretty well. By the way, Lady Erin here. My God.
Crushing the scene she's in. By the way, I did want to just bring up really quick. Just because it is actually a really interesting thing. So Reyna in the books actually does have a dragon. It is called Mourning. And this dragon, we have basically no idea what happens to it. It hatches like during the Dance of the Dragons while they are over. You remember, because she takes the kid over, and we have no idea what happens to it. It survives and just lives on. And we don't know. It could still be alive. I mean, it's presumed dead before like all the other dragons died, like Daenerys, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is.
Could still be out there. Could be a Valyria.
Could be. Maybe. Could be. So that's just kind of interesting. But yes, a bunch of other really interesting. There's just so much with this episode because it's not like we have a huge big battle. So it's a lot of character building. Alf going to, I'll actually say, I think that was a bad move by Rhaenyra, because he's out there. I know he's out there spreading the word. You know, I mean, when he goes out there, if he can get some pardons for some people, that travels. Hey, Rhaenyra is a good queen. And the funny thing is Rhaenyra does this stuff for the small folk in the last episode. Now, the Hightowers, even though he kills the one guy he said he wouldn't, they all leave sort of peacefully. But they have shown mercy. That's what the small folk believe. Now here comes the Gold Cloaks knocking people around and everything. So what are they going to think about Rhaenyra?
Yeah. And this seed was planted, by the way, last episode. They said, you're doing all this stuff, but it's only one time. It's a band-aid. Sure. They are going to turn on you as soon as the next inconvenience comes around and whatever, which bit of a pessimistic way of looking at commoners. However, that's like a little detail that they could have not done. And then this would have been a little bit of whiplash, right, from week to week. They did a couple things like that this episode that were very subtle that I think are really good pieces of writing that I don't think the show gets a lot of credit for. A lot of people complain about how bad some of the writing is. Mm-hmm. There's flaws, right? It's not perfect. I think largely it's been great. And I don't know. I just see people always complaining about the writing. And I think that they could take some time to also acknowledge just the very little pieces that make the show a lot more consistent. I'll give you another example, actually. So what we just talked about, sowing the seed that the small folk could turn on Rhaenyra. Here's another one. I loved the little bit where the maester pulls out the marble ball.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, that's done. You know, she has a line, but Matt, that is them.
Relics of the past, or relics of an ancient order or something.
Yeah, like lost. So that's amazing. If you think about what we just saw, if you watch House of the Dragon, you immediately have to go, when did they stop doing this? Because that's not in the main series. We just saw it.
Right.
Rhaenyra squashed that tradition. So it's like very small, minute. But that actually answers a question someone could have if they watch both shows. I think that's great. That's like, it's a very small thing. And it isn't just a throwaway line either. I mean, it kind of shows Rhaenyra wanting to be something new and to completely clear the slate. So like, it actually has purpose as well. And there was one other piece of this episode Ormond being sensitive to smells. Remember when he gets the messenger earlier in the season? Doesn't he say to have him get a bath?
Yeah.
So that was like, you could go back and watch and be like, yeah, he is sensitive to smell. She didn't just make that up. They didn't just like jam that in there for fun. It was the case when we met him.
Right.
So like that, I don't know. I think those are like little pieces of writing they don't get any credit for. Mm-hmm. That for me go a long way.
Well, and then, I mean, obviously it's a change, and I think it's one of the ones George actually said that he was like really upset with is Maelor, the child, right? Who wasn't born yet. Helena's other one. But you know, I mean, here it is in TV where there's no words spoken other than does she just say like Helena? Like, you know, she looks at her and touches her belly. That's all you need to see on TV. It's one of those things that you can do on TV that you can't really do in a book. I mean, you can, but not the type of history book. Because you're telling like big broad strokes from a third person point of view. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, well, now you kind of raise the stakes a little bit more.
Sure do. And not
because, now she is carrying a child that is a potential claim to the throne.
Whose is it?
Well, yeah. I had that big theory where I was like, oh, maybe they're like Aemon's kids, and then they never did anything with it.
Well, it could be Aemon's.
Well, that was right. My...
Well, yeah, I'm Aemon's saying, no, this gone. Kid. Yeah. This kid could be Aemon's.
Could be, because he was there for a bit.
That's right. So I'm kind of thinking that, and then I'm also sitting here and just wondering, how does this tie
Aemon in? Aemon wasn't even in it wasn't even in this episode.
He was not. No, he was left out. Yep.
And then we just see... what's Alice Rivers like 1 second. She's like, ah, he's not here. I mean, he is, but
yeah.
She's hiding.
Here's a question. Where's this dragon?
They said they found he must be flying around. I mean, because they said they found a nest, but it's been empty for a bit.
But is, I don't know. That I kind of started thinking. I was like, I feel like if he was flying around, people would have saw him by now.
He's pretty so big where's thing. The, I mean, yeah, dragon? I mean Vhagar's like the biggest dragon right now. You'd think he'd
Yeah, and it's a big area. There's a lot of empty spaces. But I part of me was kind of like, that's weird. Are we going to see like the dragon chain? Dragons.
Man, the Sunfire stuff. So good.
You liking it? Okay.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. And yeah. I have seen people.
go off, Matt.
This is where, you know. This is where.
What are people saying, Matt? What are people saying?
There's just no way that dragon could still be alive. I mean, he hasn't even had water, you know, and then you just look at the comments and people are talking about alligators and how they live for like months underwater with like only their snout out. And I'm just like, dude, it's a freaking dragon. It could just be magically healing because that's what dragons do. Okay. I mean, like, technically it's not a dragon. It's a wyvern. Like, dude, people are going way too hard with it. Please tell me the anatomy of a dragon and how it works. And you know,
I'm this is giving me life.
Well, it's giving Sunfire life because he's come back. Okay.
Oh, definitely. Aegon says he senses it. And the other thing, I thought this was interesting is it Meleys? Is that the dragon that Rhaenys rode? Is
Rhaenys' dragon, yeah.
And is rotting against the wall, but Sunfire isn't rotting.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If Sunfire's alive, it's pretty loose writing, right? Like, there's a lot of questions to be had of how that dragon's just sitting there as far as, like, not being poached on by people. And
well, those whatever. People are kind of, like, showing it off. Hey, come see this dragon.
They're using it as an attraction. It's like the Mothman statue in West Virginia.
I can't wait for freaking Sunfire to rise. Because you know that's what's going to happen. The way, like, they've... Because mm-hmm. Aegon's going to get out of there. Sunfire's going to get up. And he's going to be like... You know, he is straight up torching that dude whose boots he just kissed.
Oh, definitely.
100%. He's eating him. That dude's gone. I can tell you that Matt, right now.
Can I admit something to you a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm ashamed. I kind of like Aegon. Like, I'm almost rich.
I know, man. Because
one of the things, and this really isn't some, it.
Like John.
He never wanted it. And also, what's he been doing for the last couple episodes? He's seeing how the small folk interact, how they live. Mm-hmm. He's seeing the people who are obviously doing bad things, but he's also seeing the people who are suffering from it. And all I can think of is, after all this, you know, he's gonna have a different perspective.
Well, remember that was one of the best scenes of the show is where he's sitting on the chair actually ruling, and the like farmer comes up to him in season two or whatever, and he asks, he's like, can we do this thing? He's like, yeah, like,
yeah,
give him, right, yeah, just give him that. And Otto's like, well, I mean, we can't do that. You know, we got to like rule with, you know, you don't, if we give somebody, then everyone will come up. And he's just like, just give it to him. I mean,
Aegon is, I like it. I know.
And that's the thing is he himself has never really been a bad like person. Well, I mean, he's not great to his brother. He's not great to his brother, but.
Or the handmaiden that he. You know.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. And I'm saving you. But I guess, yeah, sorry. Yeah, so maybe that's what I meant to say. What the point I'm trying to make is that he, you know, I mean, like, he is also somebody who was thrust into this thing, like this whole war and everything. He didn't want it. He literally tried to flee, so he wouldn't even do it. And he's not, I mean, it's not like he was sitting there telling everyone I should be the heir when. I mean, clearly, I mean, he could have. He probably could have protested it. And when Rhaenyra was still alive, he's like, I'm the firstborn. And he could have actually been the one raising this whole thing up because, by the way, the Septims and everything view it. Yeah, he would be the legitimate heir. Yeah. That's which is why so many people actually probably were like, I mean, a lot of people went on out of fear, but I mean, clearly a lot of the small folk and everything are like, well, yeah, Rhaenyra is a woman. She's not supposed to rule. I mean, but he never did that because he didn't care about it. So, but I mean, but now he's been thrust into this whole thing that he wanted nothing to do with in the first place.
Yeah. And he's obviously a degenerate in many ways, but
he's a spoiled kid of the king who has been allowed to do whatever he wants his whole life.
Sleeping in, assaulting women, you know, classic one percenter stuff. Yes. But it's also, I don't know, just watching what he went through and like, I mean, it's a good arc.
Well, that stuff is not only like years removed for us as we're watching this, but even if you're like in the future when people are streaming this episode to episode, it's still like almost over a season away. That stuff happened, right? Because that's like season one stuff. So that's like really far removed from like your mind to where, you're like, man, I do kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah. And he had that little arc in season two where like he's trying to impress his friends, remember? And, you know, just like going through those awkward stages that we all kind of do as teenagers. I think the arc is fantastic. The actor, I don't know his name. He might be my favorite performer in the show. I like him that much. He's really good.
Especially a lot of the prosthetic. I mean, he's got like all the face makeup and everything. And
he's
in pain.
His scenes where he's in pain are so believable.
Well, he's going to, I mean, clearly we're going to see him. I'm not going to spoilers, but I'm very interested to see just how his role changes because, I mean, he's like a big player. I mean, the big other player in this whole thing. And the funny thing is that it's one of the, where you read the history books and you read the books is it's so from Rhaenyra's perspective. Like that's just the way the books are written. And here we're getting Aegon's side.
We're getting a lot more about every character. Yeah,
sure. Which is great.
Yeah. And, and the whole Sunfire thing is very interesting because if Sunfire were to stay gone, that changes.
If you're anything like me, you've probably got a growing list of books you want to get through but never seem to find the time. That's why I've been using 11 Reader. Not only does it have over 200,000 premium audiobooks, but it lets you turn just about anything into a natural sounding audiobook. PDFs, articles, EPUBs, even documents you already have. One of my favorite features is being able to choose the narrator for anything I upload. It's amazing how much a different voice can completely change the immersion of a story. Sometimes the right narrator is the difference between a book you're just listening to and one you're completely pulled into. A gritty fantasy novel, a mystery, or even a history book can all feel completely different depending on who's telling the story. An 11 Reader gives you the freedom to find the voice that fits the book. It's become one of my favorite ways to catch up on reading while I'm driving, working out, or just taking the dog for a walk. Instead of watching another 20 minutes of social media, I actually make progress on my reading list. You can try 11 Reader for free, and if you decide to upgrade, use promo code podcast to get your first 2 months for just $1.
There's a lot of stuff coming, which no spoilers, but Sunfire is very important. So
sure.
I think the Aegon Larys buddy cop thing is just really fun. Larys is a great performer. I was glad to hear someone say, "What's wrong with your leg?" Just kind of reminding us because we're not seeing
him. He's probably loving when Aegon is kissing that boot. He's like, "Oh yeah, buddy."
I forgot about Larys's foot fetish. Oh yeah, we're the foot fetish podcast. I forgot.
Oh yeah,
that was our thing.
Yeah,
we have done so many good memes about this show over the last 4 years, like the Alicent being a warg short where people
didn't understand the joke. People didn't get that. Well, some people did. And then the people like the hardcore fans are like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Like,
yeah. That meme, the fact that it didn't get a million views is criminal. You Our killed foot fetish that
one crushed it. But yeah,
the foot fetish one. Didn't you say that? Like you looked up our keywords and our podcast was coming up underneath foot fetish.
Yep. There for a while. It was.
Oh, I'm proud of that.
We had one joke about Aegon ringing his bell because something else.
Yeah, that was me. That was when Ez is still on the show, and his eyebrows went to the top of his head. Said he was ringing that bell.
Jeez,
those are good times.
Yeah, season one.
This show's great. It's giving us so many good memories, man.
It's great. This whole season is good. I can see why it's been rated so so highly.
Yeah.
Man, some characters who we didn't see. We haven't seen Bela in a while. So I think we will probably get some more of her.
Please get more Bela. Let's rain it.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the big characters was Damon and his dragon.
Damon's dragon and obviously Sheep Stealer, and then lying to Rhaenyra and Missaria just being like, not buying that. I don't think Rhaenyra buys it either, by the way. Do you think?
Well, what about Damon? What about Craxes? Which is his dragon, not like listening.
I think that is so one could say, and this is going to piss off everyone, all the logic bros, but Matt, one could say you would think Daemon Targaryen would have an understanding of a dragon, how to control a dragon. And in the same episode where we see Daemon not being able to control his dragon, we see that Sunfire is not rotting and maybe Sunfire is alive, but how could Sunfire be? We understand dragons, Matt.
Right.
Or do we?
We don't.
Or do we, Matt?
Which is 100. I'll tell you right now, next week, just be prepared for dragons not listening. I 1,000,000% think that's going to be a big thing next week.
And you know, it's funny. Dragons don't listen and Targaryens don't learn. Right. They just keep riding. They don't care.
Yeah. Which I think is just, I think they're going to lean hard into that, which makes me wonder about a lot of the other events towards the end of this series and how much of that is actually just dragons not listening.
Oh my
God. I think they're going to lean into that so much harder because they've clearly been doing it this season. But I think almost all of the big events featuring dragons towards the end of this story will almost always all be because they don't actually control them the way they believe they do.
Which is what Viserys says in season one. It is honestly maybe the major through theme of the show is to say that this power is uncontrollable,
which like
dude,
which what does that say about Daenerys? Because Daenerys seems to have almost complete control of her dragon.
She struggles a little bit at first,
and then like one of the best scenes is when her dragon like kills some people and it's like uh-oh, maybe I don't have as much, but that's it. And then later she does. And so what does that say about her that she almost has absolute complete control over not one, but three dragons at the same time?
Yeah. Three dragons is crazy. If you think about that, like seeing this show really does make that
even
seem
still,
like a bigger
even
deal,
still,
doesn't
I don't, it? Even still, that's something that's even in like the main series, that's not ever really explained by George, like at all, is how does Daenerys have almost complete control over three dragons at once?
Well, they say anyone who claims to understand how dragons bond to humans would be a fool. So I guess George went like this, a big hand wave, which I love. I think it's great.
Yeah, I can go back and look. That'd be an interesting. Does anybody else have like? I don't think anybody else has more than one dragon at once. I mean, Daemon clearly, and like Rhaenyra, and like we've seen them talk to other dragons to be like, hey, you know,
and
call them out. And this one, Daemon gets out of the way of Sheep Stealer because he's like, uh-oh, he's coming. He's going to charge me, which was cool.
Not that he was
going to control him, but clearly he just knows, like, I need to get out of the way, which was cool.
Dude, Sheep Stealer's the best.
But then also, why was Caraxes drawn? Because he sensed Sheep Stealer or because he sensed Rhaena? And he knew that Daemon should see Rhaena. Like, that was, like, that's one of the interesting cool moment.
Oh, see, I took it as just Sheep Stealer, but I kind of like what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
Huh. I'll tell you what, though, man, your little tidbit. I mean, obviously, we've seen dragons not behaving already. That's end of season one, right? And we see it in this season, but there's
on season two. I mean, yeah, we've seen it all over the place.
The final scene I'm thinking of, one of the final monumental dragon action scenes, I'm just thinking what you're saying, and I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, I know people get upset with Ryan Condell because George hates him, but I think Condell's cooking.
I think he is too. And I think, I mean, I'll go ahead and say it. All I'm saying is season three, who's not involved? Okay. All I'm saying is season three doesn't have George and now we're cooking.
So there goes the Gurm interview.
That ain't happening. No, I don't think it's like, you know, oh, well, I mean, without like, you obviously would want George involved, but if George and Ryan, we don't know that these guys didn't butt heads in like season one. So what's to say that maybe, I mean, if you have two people who just don't work well together,
yeah, it's a detriment to everybody.
Right. Because even George said stuff about, was Ira Parker, the showrunner? Yeah. Remember, even Duncan Egg, he was like, that's kind of some questionable things here.
Yeah, he didn't like, he didn't like the diarrhea scene, which
right,
people got to get over it. It's so good. Right.
It was funny. One of my favorite scenes. It was just nominated for
nine Emmys. We got to talk about that. You know, not to derail this, but we've been talking about the Emmys. And
so I guess, right, because I thought the math always throws me off because Emmys are like in the middle of the year and it always throws me off because I think it's like end of the year. And because I was like, well, House of the Dragon should challenge the Pit. Well, I don't even think it qualifies to challenge the Pit because it'll be for like next year's. It happens every year I do this. I mean, I think this has literally happened every year. I'm like, well, this should be in the Emmys. And then it's not because I don't do the math. So it must be ended like March or something. When is the season?
Yeah. So actually, if you think about that staggered release that they're doing between the two shows, it's actually really smart by HBO. Really smart.
Yeah. So like, what is the timeline? So like, what is the thing? That's we have to go. I mean, this is,
Duncan
this is clearly going to get nominated. Clearly.
Has to.
Yeah.
Do we know how many numbers House of the Dragon's doing, by the way? Like, I haven't seen really anything about it.
Streaming numbers? That hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, I feel like we don't really get those.
So until Emmy later. Season is from June 1st to May 3rd. So basically June to June.
Okay.
So this will be in next year's Emmys. So I guess the Pit season 3, because it should be coming out next year. And then... if Duncan Egg comes out, then it could have to go up against Duncan Egg. But hey, if you get two nominations for best drama, well, now you've got like what? I mean, there's like six shows that get it. I mean, now you got like third chance.
Yeah, you know, and the only people that would be upset are, I guess, the individuals that work on different shows, you know?
Sure.
So, by the way, House of the Dragon season 3 premiere. 22 million That's viewers. Good.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing. It's down 8% from season 2. But season 2 is down 20% from season 1. So, but this is how this goes. This is
right. A lot of people also like once you're in the middle of a show, like a lot of people will just wait until it's over.
Oh, I'm guilty of that.
I've been wanting to watch it for years. Wanted to watch Hacks. The comedy on HBO.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize this last season was its series finale. And then I'm like, oh, cool. Now I'm like, even better. I can just stream the whole thing. It's great.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a freaking phenomenal show. It's hilarious.
Really?
Oh my God. It's so good. HBO comedy. It's like been nominated. I looked it up. It's been nominated every year.
Isn't it funny how many shows like that exist and you don't even know about it? Usually it's on HBO, by the way.
I've seen trailers and stuff, but I've never sat down and finally watched it. And I was like, all right. And so, so good.
I've been watching Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed on Apple TV. It's about a lady who is divorced and she is viewing cam boy sites. Like
what?
So cam girls. Yeah, but listen to this. Check this out. So she's video chatting this cam boy she sees regularly and he gets murdered while she's like having Skype sex with him.
Yeah.
And then it launches.
Oh, it's got... She-Hulk. What's her name? Who plays She-Hulk? She's in it.
I've never seen her in anything. I think she's really good. It's not like the best show ever, but man, Apple TV's got some good stuff.
Yeah. Really all Jess Hodges. Yeah.
All right. So back to the topic at hand. So you were saying George is awful.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I'm just saying clearly there is something different about this season, right? I mean, clearly there is something. I mean, one, I think it's just like where we're at narratively.
And let's say, we're in the best part.
Season one was like, it's still great stuff, but it's just such a weird time jump thing.
Yeah, it was
wonky. And then season two slowed down a lot in the back half of it. But I mean, now I don't know. Clearly something is different. I mean, even the budget and everything feels much bigger. And there was all that turmoil with like HBO and AT&T and Warner Brothers Discovery and all of that stuff. And now, you know, it's Paramount, whatever. But I mean, clearly there's something different about this season because it's writing and everything feels substantially better than season two.
Yeah. I think the show's had a high quality throughout, but there is something about the season that, I mean, it's just, this is the best season. I don't think it's relatively close. Yeah, sure. I think season three has been like excellent so far. So
yeah, I mean, this feels like we're back into at least like season, maybe not season four of Game of Thrones, because that's like peak television ever.
Yeah, that's tough.
Season I'd say like season one, season two. It feels like that's where about like quality wise, because you and I are rewatching it on Patreon and going back and rewatching. Did even episode one, even season one, we're just like, man, there's no wonder the show like just absolutely floored. And nothing else at the time was even, even remotely close.
I guess Breaking Bad would be the comparison.
Right. And like Sopranos, but I mean, but not in terms of scope of cinematography.
Oh yeah, it changed television. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think I don't know. It feels bigger. It feels higher quality. Yeah. But you know, these people have been working on this show for 6 years now. That maybe they're just getting better.
I think it is certainly a combination of one. It does feel like the budget is bigger in general. Maybe that's because like we were going through the merger and they clearly had to cut some stuff, and then also where we're at narratively. So those are two differences in general.
Yeah.
But I would also say, I don't know, man, it feels like they're just like, I mean, I feel like you can feel like they have more freedom in the writing room, and some people may not necessarily like that, but I mean, they're doing their version of it, which for better or for worse, I mean, I feel like you can actually feel that. I'm not saying that it's better than George's story, because there are some things that I think, there's some things in Game of Thrones that I think we've said this a lot. I think Tywin Lannister at Harrenhal is infinitely better than the books of Roose Bolton. I think it's way, way better, just an idea in general in the show than it is in the book. So, I mean, there's, even in Game of Thrones, there are some things that are better. Even George wrote stuff for Game of Thrones that is better than in the books.
Like, yeah, and he's also even talked about this show, House of the Dragon, you know, pieces of it being better. I mean, Viserys is
way better. Yeah. Oh, I mean, so
Paddy Constantine.
Right. So that's not saying like, I mean, George is like goat author for me, like ever. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say like,
oh, yeah, it sounded like you were blaming all the shortcomings on George.
But you can clearly see that now that Ryan and George could clearly do not get along. You can see that they're just, you can feel it in the episodes that they are going with their vision. And we have to see. Maybe it'll fall completely on its ass at the end, but
could.
Maybe not. George, I don't know.
George is my favorite author. And I'm still a big fan of Ryan Condal. I think he's done a lot of great for this. I mean, listen, yes, they don't get along. Maybe, and who knows? Maybe it goes way deeper than lore changes and there's the lying and everything. Whatever. Think about this. This man picked up the ashes of season 8 and resurrected this fandom. And we were still on the train. We never got off the fandom. We've been here.
He also did episodes in game. Like he did like the big huge battle. He did a lot of those
stuff.
And he was there for it.
He could have walked away and said, I don't want any part of this.
Miguel was too, who was there in season one.
Yeah. Who's gone now. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm sure that we'll get the whole story, but
sure.
I'm just saying, like, so many people that worked in the original Game of Thrones said, I never want to be involved with it again. Like Dan and Dave are like, never again. Da, 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 da. Right. And Ryan Condal came and, you know, he stuck it out for all of us, which, you know, I'm not making him out to be a hero or anything, but it's sad now when, you know, he said, I'll never work in Westeros again after this. It's just,
you never know. Sucks. If Warner Brothers lines up enough, a big enough paycheck, people will come back for anything.
That's true. Man, we might see Dan and Dave again.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, George, if you want to release wins and say like, I mean,
you're really going out Georgie today.
I'm just saying, dude, I mean, you know, I mean, I know some of the hardcore books, like, I mean, we are hardcore book stands, but the people who are like, who refuse to accept any, cause I go on, like, I see on Reddit, like, free folk people who just criticize like every single aspect of, of the show. Well, I mean, George, you have a way to steal back the thunder.
Then it's true. You could overshadow all of it.
If you really want to. You just go release Winds of Winter, which we have been waiting longer for Winds of Winter at this point than like it took for all five of the first books to be released.
That makes me sad.
I know, man.
We're cooked.
I still believe we'll see it And I'm still, I was still live.
Why not?
But,
why not? But it doesn't cost us anything to be optimistic.
It becomes harder to defend. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I'm not actually. Yeah, like I think I've said it in the last probably year, but I think I've accepted
that. Last interview basically confirmed me. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah. We'll see what he's written, because no matter his wishes, his estate is going to
it's
go
getting
the money.
It's getting released.
Some point it will. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, God, I obviously don't want anything to happen, but the minute he does die, there somebody's going to, like, whether it's Penguin Random House or whoever, is going to line up enough money to be like, we're Brandon Sandistering this.
Oh yeah.
Wheel of Time.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting, right? And
right,
who knows if it will ever be finished. I mean, I don't know.
It will be. We've talked about it before, but yeah, this season is cooking.
I have a question. Do you think maybe I'm enjoying this a ton more because I haven't looked at Reddit and I haven't looked at any online discourse? I honestly,
but
think
I still go back to the things we've said, where you just have to go to different communities. It is
TikTok
and everything.
I
will say this is the
bubble.
Most I have ever seen other A Song of Ice and Fire creators on TikTok ever.
I'm seeing it in my algorithm on Instagram a lot.
Infinitely more memes and everything. Funny, dude, the meme of Rhaenyra, like that was all over the place. Like people like in corporate speak, you know, like sending emails like, I am awash with deficiencies, allow me to, you know, as if it's like how to respond to people to, like, I'll get back to you with that email or whatever.
I saw one where a guy was describing what Sheep Stealer is doing. It was the memes
got a serious underbite, man.
There's been so many good reels, and I will say I didn't see any of that for the first two seasons, so I think it's in the zeitgeist a little bit right now. Yeah. not Game of Thrones, nothing will ever be like that, but I don't know. I'm feeling good about the show, man.
Yeah, this season feels different, man. Feels different. All right. With that, we will be back next week. Seems like we're going to have a huge battle next week. I try not to watch the previews, but I just, you know, saw some pictures and stuff of it on. I'm like, well, I think it's pretty obvious where we're headed anyway.
I think we have to.
So I think we're going to have a battle of Tumbleton next week, which is wild because
five. So then there's three left. It's going to be Butcher's Ball, isn't it? That's what we're ending on.
Which is part of the Battle of Tumbleton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe two episodes will be a battle, which would get us to six. And then seven and eight will be the...
Seven might be the big action. Eight will probably be the fallout, if it falls. But it might not follow that pattern because we're off on the schedule because of season two.
But I will
cuts.
There is one battle that we have been talking about. Is it going to happen this season or next season? And I said, and I can definitively say after this episode, which you've been jokingly saying, like, I don't know, I need to see one more episode. I can definitively say, now I can definitively say timeline wise, we're not seeing it this season whatsoever.
He's calling it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just because it was like, man, you never know. Like, feels like we're creeping too close it. But what's happening right now is the same thing that happened in season two, where we're like, man, it took forever to get to the dragon seeds.
Yeah,
because we still have to set up Aemond and Alice Rivers. We didn't have any of that. I thought that would be a big part of this next episode. We haven't had that, so that's gonna happen. And clearly, we're gonna have to set up. Maybe there's gonna be quite a bit more. I think we'll see some more Helaena stuff.
I hope so.
We didn't get any Bela this week.
None.
And Bela and Adam or Alan.
Yeah.
We didn't see Adam of Hall at all, and he has some arc stuff he has to go through too. That's going to be coming up shortly. So
yeah, and there's a few stuff.
Hammer and his wife, they're going to expand that out. Yeah, so there's a lot to do, like, narratively now, where I feel like you can push some of this action stuff down the line.
Yeah, I think there's going to be major changes in the end of the timeline next season. I think it's
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think some battles will be moved around to be.
And like people's endings and
sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. All right. Well, we will be back next week with episode five. Yes. This is episode four, episode five. So we are more than halfway there.
Yeah. Second half. That's right.
So, all right, guys. Well, with that, I want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. We will see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.